Hi, I'm Georgina Hudson from GeorginaHudson.net. This podcast has been created to support you in your path of self-awareness and well-being, and to draw a roadmap together that can help you align mind and heart. Today we are going to talk about the second part on how to face difficult situations and become stronger. So if you haven't listened to the first part, we really encourage you to do so. For more information about what I do and about me, you can visit my website on GeorginaHudson.net or my Instagram account, GeorginaHudson.coach. Hello, hello, hello. What's up, people? Here we are with Luciano. Hello, Luciano.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
We are so happy to have you on the air to continue with this topic about going through tough situations and how to become stronger, how to transform. And in the first part, we shared with you what one follower shared with us. He went through a very tough separation, and he says that he does it all, like he tries everything every day. He doesn't throw in the towel, and however, when the sun sets every day, he feels lonely and more lonely, and he feels both guilty and shameful and desperate, and so he wanted us to talk about this. And we decided to take his example to illustrate what a tough situation can be like, but this can strike a chord with whoever is going through a difficult situation. And then we talked about tools, and the tools that we shared in our first podcast are validating our feelings, never fight your feelings, validate them, reframe hard moments, don't think of yourself as a failure or an embarrassment or guilty. Try to see whatever you're going through, like this follower who shared his experience, and instead of feeling like a failure, saying, I feel like a failure because I feel lonely every night, try to say, okay, you know, I am going through this and it's okay to feel lonely. I could probably do this and that differently, and you know, it's not me, it's the situation itself. Then we highlighted practicing mindfulness because it grounds us in the here and now, practicing gratitude, which is something we all say we should do, but we never do. And it is something that helps us see multiple possibilities. Also seeking support groups, as there are some anonymous support groups that can help you, but also our friends, colleagues, family, groups with professionals. And also we mentioned challenging negative thoughts, how we can challenge negative thoughts. So all that is in the first podcast. Luciano, I don't know if you want to say
It is a very broad topic, numerous situations, and each situation depends on each person and their circumstances. So in the podcast we will describe a broad spectrum antibiotic, identifying common aspects in this broad topic. So first things first, within difficult situations, the factor of time and attempts comes to play a role, because you may find yourself like the typical, no? When life strikes you, the sudden situation, and that is obvious. I am in a difficult situation. It has started right now, like something immediate. But then you have the other difficult situation that is sustained in time, whether it started in a shock or gradually, but it's been some time, and then you find yourself in it. And you find yourself that you have been doing things and it is not going the way you thought, and you are stuck in this situation. So that is a difficult situation per se, and you may not know that you are in it, and you are lost. So The first one is obvious. It started right now, but bear in mind that you may be in some other, because perhaps it's been a year since this started and you need to realize that before acting.
Yeah, I am thinking of our listener and the sudden, maybe, you know, the feeling he had when his wife or he himself decided to separate and divorce, and the sustained could be, you know, every day doing his best, applying for everything, not throwing in the towel. And however, one day he finds that he's not happy, that he feels lonely. But he doesn't know exactly why, because he said in his message that, you know, he knows that the separation was necessary. So, you know, it's like confusing sometimes.
Yeah, or maybe when you have a problem with a friend, and then you realize that this is a process that started a year ago, and now it is collapsing, but the situation started a year ago.
Yeah.
So the matter of time and the matter of attempts, when you are doing and doing and doing and you cannot find the exit, and you are in a loop and you are stuck into this situation.
I have a real life example, Luciano, because you know, one of my best friends was telling me, and another friend who she doesn't know so well, that before she finally separated from her husband, she had been feeling really wrong. She had been feeling awful. But she didn't know that the cause of her suffering and depression and everything was directly related to her difficult marriage. She thought that maybe she was, you know, wrong or to blame for her feelings, etc. And then when she separated, when they separated, she realized, oh, you know, a veil came down, and mm-hmm. she realized she had been feeling bad for a long, long time because of that thing that happened later, which is the separation.
Yeah, and these concepts of time, if it is sudden or sustained, and the concept of attempts, failed attempts, these are related to resilience. We will talk a bit more about that. So whenever you are in this situation, however it started, every difficult situation starts with a cloud, because it is something blurry in your mind and you don't know where to go, what to do. And the first thing to understand is that in the cloud there are emotional and practical aspects. This blurry thing has two components. One is emotional and the other is practical. On the emotional side, the most important ones are loneliness and catastrophizing, thinking always on the negative side of things. And on the practical side, there will be actions with varying effectiveness, or even inaction, which is an action itself. So we have this blurry cloud, and the objective is to move to effective actions, to get out of this difficult situation with effective actions. And there are four levels that we can divide this process in. The first level is the mental level. You have everything in your mind and you think you have the concept clear, the situation, I have this clear, this is what is happening, but these are disordered thoughts. And we think we have it clear, and it is not. And then you speak to someone, then you go to a spoken level. And by telling this to someone else, you realize things that you haven't considered before. So this is bringing order to your thoughts.
Yeah.
Order. So additionally, we need to find the right person to talk, because maybe if it is a difficult situation at work, and then you find a colleague to talk, maybe this colleague is not the best person to talk. Maybe you should find a friend. And if it is a situation with inside your group of friends, maybe you need to talk to a colleague at work. So find or even a professional.
Yeah, so Luciano, if I'm following you, you are saying that we have this blurry state of mind, let's say, And on a mental level, we might say, oh, yes, this is because of this, this is because of that. And, you know, I have done this or that that has caused.
That's your inner conversation.
Exactly, my inner conversation. Then I talk to somebody else and I bring order.
Exactly.
To my speech, no?
And then if you write about this, you organize thoughts and what you have spoken, and you organize everything into writing. Into writing could be wherever, designing an action plan, SWOT analysis, timeline, assigning priorities, journaling, or wherever. Every time you write, you put order to the spoken level and to the mental level. And this dive deep will put you in a situation very different than the situation that at the beginning when you thought everything was clear. So
yeah, and I couldn't emphasize this enough. It is so important to start journaling, to start writing down what we are going through, what we feel, what we did, to start seeing the patterns. You laugh at me because you say I'm a pattern person, but you know, I had this trigger and then I reacted in this way, and as a result I felt in that way. Did this help me? Did it not? So in a way, when we write down, we also separate ourselves from the situation and we create the space between the stimulus and response.
In my opinion, the rigor of writing is filling the gaps, you know, because the rigor of writing will bring to light more aspects not considered before. So this filling the gaps is crucial to finally understand, okay, now I can say I have things more clear than before, but did I do something else than thinking, speaking, or writing? Those are actions. But we need to get into the real stuff, which are actions connected to
untying the knot.
The knot. Okay, and if we are talking about action, this is the fourth level, which is the execution of actions. Actions. There are two types of actions that we can identify. One are habits like hygiene, nutrition, meditation, gratitude, going to the gym, home order, that provide a structure, a framework, a sense of movement, sense of activation. It is crucial to start with habits.
Yeah.
To put more order to your conflictive scenario. And then you have specific actions, paperwork, negotiation, buying or selling, quitting, searching, offering, things that are related with your difficult situation. If you write and if you talk, but if you don't face that negotiation with the lawyer, for instance, you will keep in this difficult situation. You cannot find the exit. So those are specific actions. So habits and specific actions.
Yeah, and I think the habits are the foundation.
Exactly. And one question that may appear is, what's the first step?
Yeah.
Should we start with the physical, with the emotional aspects in this cloud, or with the practical aspects? Mm. And in my opinion, both are related.
Yeah.
We should start with the practical actions, but also address the emotional side of all this.
Yeah, and if you allow me to interrupt here, when you are saying to start with the practical, I think because of what we talked about before the podcast, is starting with the little things. It's not like we are going to start with the strategy before analyzing our emotional state. We're going to start with a very thin framework that is going to support the canvas. It's going to be making our bed, it's going to be changing our diet or moving our body, going to bed earlier. So it's the little things.
Exactly. And start. Even if it is suboptimal, it doesn't matter. Movement is better than stagnation. Later on you may adjust to reality and to results, but you should attend in the middle the emotional. So you first start with little things and you address the emotional. And the first step in the emotional, as we mentioned in the first part of this podcast, is to accept emotions, validate them, address them, and recognize them. So you start with something your brain can understand. It is happening. I put order on my room, for instance. This little order will bring the space for you to start getting in touch with your emotions.
Yeah, and interrupting here again, I have this client of mine who confessed that he felt that when he did physical activity, he felt he was robbing time from the time he needed to invest in his work. And I asked him, what makes you feel so? And he said, I feel I have to work 24/7. And one of the things we concluded is that if he didn't pause to move his body to become stronger physically, he was not going to be able to do his best at work. So everything impacts, like all the balls impact one another, right?
Yeah, it is this mutual influence between the emotional and practical. The emotional is influenced by past experiences, beliefs, and mindset. In the emotional, it is important to question beliefs that may not be true for this experience. For instance, I'll be alone for the rest of my life, or I'll never get a job. So the emotional aspect, our emotions will catalog, will tag our actions with priorities and biases that may be incorrect.
Yeah.
It is very important to have that clear or present. And on the other side, on the other hand, the actions or inaction will influence the emotional. Because executing actions robotically without addressing emotions is short-sighted and may not address root causes.
Exactly.
And may lead you to a wrong path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I'm thinking about the role of resilience. We've heard about resilience for a long time, but I think in all these projects you have been talking about, resilience plays such a key role. And what is it? It is the ability to adapt and recover from difficult situations. It's like a muscle that strengthens each time we use it to overcome an obstacle. Resilience helps us face adversities with a proactive and positive mindset, allowing us not only to endure pain during the difficult times, but also to learn and to grow from it after the difficult time. Moreover, resilience doesn't mean avoiding the pain or the sadness or the anger. It means accepting those emotions and using them as catalysts for change. What do all these feelings have to tell me? They are a messenger for what? What do I need to learn? Why am I so angry? Why am I so anxious? What do I need to do? What am I afraid of? So it involves recognizing all of our emotions, all the spectrum, facing them, and then transforming them into a source of energy and motivation. So resilience is the ability to see beyond our immediate problems, and it's the capacity to identify creative solutions and maintaining a long-term perspective. It is through resilience that we not only recover, but also emerge stronger, wiser, are more capable of facing future challenges.
So if recapping, if we think about this difficult situation going from a blurry cloud to actions, to execution of actions, we may think that resilience will be present all along this process. It could be present at the beginning when you're shocked.
Mm-hmm.
When everything started, when you're shocked, or when you realize your actions are not being effective, then you need to develop this ability to adapt and recover.
Yeah, yeah. In Buddhist philosophy, there is a saying which says that we need to be like the reed that bends but doesn't break. And this teaching reminds me of the importance of flexibility and adaptation in times of difficulty, because our mental agility sometimes is at stake when we are going through a difficult time. And there is a beautiful Sufi story which perfectly illustrates this idea. So there was a man who found himself in the midst of a fierce storm. The winds were strong. He could be knocked down. And to be honest, it is the winds and the rain and the storm could kill anyone who resisted them. But instead of fighting against all that, this man decided to do something unexpected, and he relaxed and he let himself be carried by the storm. And by not resisting, he avoided breaking, and surprisingly, he discovered that softness and adaptability can be more powerful than rigidity. So he let himself be carried by the wind, and he observed the landscape changing around him, because as the storm changed, all the landscape changed, plus he was being taken by the storm. And he could see how the rigid trees broke under the pressure of the storm, while the flexible plants, like the reed, for example, bent and survived. And finally, the storm began to subside, and the man found himself in a calm and safe place. And it was far beyond where he started, of course. And he reached a beautiful valley full of new opportunities and beauty that he would never have discovered if he had remained rigid and fought against the storm. So I think this is a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful story. So similar to resilience, I was thinking about the abundant mindset. You will need to be resilient all along this process, from the cloud to the action, to the execution of actions. And you will have to face this process from the very beginning to the very end with the role of an abundant mindset. I like what we share in our talks about developing an abundant mindset, which is, let's recap, this is the belief that there are enough resources and opportunities for everyone. This approach helps us see possibilities in everything, even in the darkest moments. So by adopting an abundant mindset, we can find out-of-the-box solutions and maintain hope, which is crucial for overcoming challenges. So, abundant mindset, from the very beginning of this difficult situation to the very end, it is as important as resilience.
Yeah, and for all of those who want to dig into the concept of mindset, we have two podcasts. Mm-hmm. About mindset. So go and have a look at them.
And in this process, from the blurry cloud to the execution of actions, in the part of actions, it is useful to think about what you mentioned on Instagram a few days ago about self-efficacy, Georgie.
Yes, and in fact, I received plenty of DMs to talk a little bit more about self-efficacy. So thank you for bringing it up. So self-efficacy is the belief in our ability to achieve our goals and to face the challenges that arise. We believe in ourselves. And by strengthening our self-efficacy, we can increase our confidence and our ability to handle difficult situations. The more I believe in myself, the more I'm going to be able to go forward, move forward, do that might scare me or might unsettle me a little. The best is to start by doing small things. So break down that big thing you have to do in small actionable steps and try to get to those achievable goals. If you see a staircase and you say, oh, I want to jump to the last step on the staircase, you're going to feel overwhelmed. But if you say, okay, I need to get to the top of the staircase, how can I get there? Okay, I don't need to jump all over the staircase. I'm going to take the first step and then the second and then the third, and I'm going to be congratulating myself for all the things that I have accomplished.
Yeah, or physical activity. Like, don't think about running a marathon mm-hmm. on the first day, mm-hmm. but maybe walk 20 minutes.
Exactly.
Every day.
Perfect.
And,
yeah.
and stick to that.
Yeah.
Keep those 20 minutes every day mm-hmm. and congratulate yourself for achieving that goal.
Exactly. So set small and achievable goals. Recognize your achievements, you know. Then positive modeling is so important in self-efficacy. Observe and learn from the people who have achieved what you want. Their successes show you that it is possible to overcome similar challenges. So if you see somebody who didn't, taking your example of the gym, for example, who never did any physical activity and then suddenly starts posting about how they succeeded in, you know, running in the treadmill and lifting weights, whatever. So you can find inspiration in what they do and model that positive behavior. And then what you mentioned before, social support, it is so important. We are so unaware sometimes of the people who surround us and how they can drain our energy or they can empower us. So surround yourself with people who support you, who believe in you. Social support increases our confidence and it helps us persist through difficult times. I can't mention how much I am grateful for all the people who supported me when my mom passed away suddenly. Not only you, my husband, but also lots and lots of friends who were always there. Let's have a coffee together. Let's have a cup of tea. Let's talk. Let's meet. No, I'm busy, I would say, because I didn't want to meet anyone. And they pushed me to go out and they helped me with their faith, sharing their experiences. It was awesome. And then positive visualization is very important in self-efficacy. And I'm not talking about the law of attraction. The law of attraction is fantastic, but there is a part of the law of attraction which I don't like, which is repeat positive things and they will manifest. So we are not talking about that. When I talk about positive visualization, I want you to imagine in more detail how you are going to achieve those small goals that you set at the beginning. So as Luciano mentioned, if you are planning to go walking around your neighborhood for 15, 20 minutes every day and you don't have your running shoes, maybe you have to visualize what type of running shoes you've got, where you're going to place them, what time you're going to go out and do your exercise, whether you're going to be doing the exercise alone or with somebody else, if you're going to take your playlist or your favorite podcast. So visualization will reinforce your confidence.
Yeah, thinking about all the things that will allow you to make that sustainable.
Exactly.
Or for instance, if we talked before about the type of actions, habits, and specific actions. When we talk about specific actions, maybe a negotiation with a lawyer, with a colleague, with your boss, and you have this meeting,
yeah.
and then you visualize this meeting from what you need to be prepared for this meeting, how is this meeting going to be from the beginning to the middle of the meeting, what are the main topics you need to talk and the end, and visualize this in a positive way, thinking in detail how you will achieve your goal. So that is the positive visualization. It is not wishy-washy, as
exactly.
we said before. It is to think about with clarity.
Yeah. Luciano, would you like to round off?
Yeah. In short, from this blurry cloud to concrete actions in these four levels, mental level, verbal level, written level, practical actions, and all across this process, resilience. You will need that
yeah.
because all along this process, you will need this rebound and grow mindset all along this process from the very beginning to the very end. And when we talk about actions, this concept of self-efficacy. And once we get through the difficult situation, once we are on the other side, we will be someone different than we were before we entered this difficult situation.
Yeah.
We have been changed. We have been transformed.
Yeah. And many times, you know, clients say to me, I wish I had the wisdom I have today. I wish I had used my wisdom when I went through that difficult time. And we don't know, but sometimes that wisdom is brought about by the difficult situation itself. So it's not so much wishing about, you know, having had the wisdom, but, you know, in congratulating us on having been transformed and having become more wiser. So many thanks to our listener for writing to us. He was very vulnerable, very true, very honest. And we never knew we were going to be able to talk about this topic so much.
A lot. We talked about a lot about this.
Yes, and we could go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the time being, it would be opening a Pandora box because these topics are so beautiful, so vast, so long, and we can learn so much from everything. So remember, I have written an article on psychology and mind, psicología y mente, about how to flow in adversity. This will add more information to this podcast. It's not exactly the same, but it is related, so it's going to add value to the repertoire. And also, as we always say to you, think of one or two people who could benefit from this free material and forward it to them. It's the best way we can use to help each other or one another. We also appreciate your like, your comments, and your feedback on any of the platforms you are listening to us. This makes us feel you are there, that you are close to us, and it encourages us to keep offering this free material as frequently as we do. For the time being,
a big hug.